You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Father's Day. I mentioned I love being a father, and I love being a son. I have wonderful memories growing up. The older you get, the more you forget some of the peripheral things that you thought were devastating, and I tend to remember, and my dad becomes a bigger hero through the years. But my dad was a larger than life person, and he not only pastored his church, he pastored the community, and he was a pastor to pastors. There were hundreds and hundreds of young men who were called into ministry under my dad's ministry through the youth camp that he ran. Pretty much everything I learned in life about ministry, about life, about winning, about hating to lose, I learned from him. That if you're playing your grandma in jacks, you beat her. I learned that from my dad. I learned how to pray. I learned how to preach. I learned how to lead. I learned how to live debt-free. Long before there was Peace University, there was Fred Frank's University. And you pay for it when you got the money to pay for it. And if you get a credit card, you pay it off. And you tithe, and you got a need, you give. You give to break through. There was so many things that I learned from him. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, he lived in a little town. When I went home last weekend, I was amazed at how little everything was. Because when I was a kid, it was all big. But he lived in a little town. And I thought it was a great little town. I thought it was really Mayberry. We had one cop in town growing up, and he had a deputy, and it was just a total Mayberry type setting. And I thought, man, this is so amazing. But what I didn't realize is my dad was just had that step above type thing. Because now I recognize this. My dad was probably the only guy in town who mowed his ditch and took care of things and knew how to tie a knot and washed his car every Saturday so it looked good for Sunday. There's so many things that just stand out to me. And I'm grateful for my dad and for my mom. I understand not everyone has the upbringing that I have, and I'm going to speak to that in just a moment. But I also want to say this. I have loved every stage. Liz spoke this years and years and years ago on a Mother's Day about how she enjoyed every phase of life with the kids. And it's true. I've enjoyed every phase of being a dad. When the kids were little, I enjoyed coaching their teams. I enjoyed trying to have devotions. Sometimes that was disaster with children. And I'm sure my dad felt the same way with me and my sisters. But I enjoyed every season. I especially enjoy this season. I enjoy watching Luke be the husband and father, and him and Michelle. I enjoy watching him with Freddie and Ida. And, of course, Freddie and Ida bring incredible joy at this season, being grandparents. I enjoy watching Paige and Matt and watching them grow and develop. And they have blossomed into incredible youth pastors. And Matt did a fabulous job last Sunday speaking. Amen. And I've seen them literally. Matt, I don't say this in a demeaning way. I've seen Matt go from can't hardly put a sentence together in talking to being an incredible communicator. And my heart just swells with pride watching you and watching Paige. And then, of course, this being your first Father's Day and the miracle, amen. And Sam is off to a great start. You know what he got his papa for Father's Day? A box of ding-dongs. Somebody say amen. So I love this season. You know, I think about this, and I'm not trying to be something I'm not, but seasons. My dad was the patriarch. I'm home. Now my one sister and her husband's retired back to the little town. My other sister and husband live there and pastor my dad's church. And so my whole family's back there now. And I see how, even though I'm the baby of the family, with dad being gone, how they want to talk and how they want to ask me, what do you think we ought to do and how we ought to do this with mom and so forth. And my role is changing into becoming more of that, I don't want to say patriarch type of person, but really it is. And from being the father with children to being a spiritual father. And I love every season of that. There, when I was young, I used to preach Father's Day messages, and it was a hope session because my kids were young and I didn't know how they're going to turn out. Now that I'm older and my kids have turned out, and I'm thankful and grateful that they love Jesus, serve Jesus, and are involved in ministry. But I also recognize this: I still don't think I have the keys to what it is to be a good father. And so on this Father's Day, I want to go back to Scripture and look at what the Bible says about God the Father. Because if I talk about what I did as a father, there's some things that maybe would work and maybe some things that wouldn't work for you. And there would be a tendency for me to talk too much about myself. But I can talk a lot about my Heavenly Father. And you see, Jesus came to show us what the Father is like. And so the standard is not Fred Frank Sr. or Fred Franks Jr. The standard is God the Father, or the Godfather, our Godfather. Amen? And so I want us to look at that. And really, our view of our Heavenly Father not only helps us to be the kind of father and mother we need to be, but what it does is it helps us to have a better understanding of our relationship, because your relationship with your Heavenly Father and how you view Him affects every area of your life. And a lot of people feel guilty about things they shouldn't feel guilty about because they have a different view or a wrong view of God. See, in our society, we're always looking for pictures, and I really think we need to look to the perfect, which is the Word of God. But we look to movies, we look to religion, sometimes it's our parents. It may be that we learned it whenever we were at school, or maybe from comedians, but this misconception of what God is really like. And I want us to have a clear view of what God is like, because it will help us then to demonstrate it in our relationships as parents and grandparents. Jesus came to show us what God the Father was like. And here's what he did. He exploded all the stereotypes. In his day, he literally, it was blowing people's mind how he was talking about the Father. Because in all the Old Testament, the word Father is only used 7 times. When Jesus talked about the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, in that passage alone, he used the term Father 7 times. He refers to Father, God being our Father, over 150 times. And he says, this is how you relate to God the Father. He was letting people know that God is not a power, but he's a person. That he's not a force or an energy, but he is a Father that you can relate to, that you can be intimate with, that you can talk to, that you can have a relationship with. Matthew 6 and verse number 9, here's what Jesus said. He said, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven. Now, as soon as I begin to talk to you about God being a Father, I understand we have a problem because of our earthly fathers, some of our earthly fathers. And I recognize that not everyone in here had the relationship with their father that I had. And I want to say this at the outset, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. This doesn't affect everyone, but it affects several. That when I use the word father, it brings up painful memories. It's not a happy season, but it's a sad season. And perhaps it even creates anger in you because your dad was neglectful or abusive, either physically or verbally. He was a non-entity in your life. I get that. Being in ministry 35 years, I've dealt with enough people to realize that some moms can be wicked and some dads can be monsters. And it's just reality. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the pain that you have experienced in life. But here is what I know. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And no matter how bad our past is, our God can heal us, deliver us, save us, and set us free. Amen. I'm convinced of it. A few weeks ago, I shared with you the illustration that the Brooklyn Tabernacle pastor that I heard speak at district council and talked about the girl that was abused that got saved, and how she even went back to her father who abused her for years to say, you destroyed my life, but God saved me. And I have come to forgive you. See, that's not possible without the power of God in our life. But he is able to help us. You know, I think of my own dad. And I think of what he had to overcome to become the man that he was. My grandpa and grandma on my dad's side were ungodly people. Were rough people. My grandfather was a miner. When I was home, they were driving me. He was driving around. We always do. Mom drives around and tells me where everybody lives. And, of course, I know where they live. And she tells me where to stop and where to turn. It's a town of 2,000, Mom. It hasn't changed in 50 years. You know, I can drive in San Francisco. I just can't drive in Granby, Missouri. But it's an old mining town, and it had chat piles. Anybody ever heard of chat piles? Chat, where they take that rock. You're from Miami, Oklahoma, right there. Chat piles everywhere, where they would mine that lead and zinc and ore, and then those little pieces of rock they call chat. And we had these mounds, massive acres. And as a kid, we had motorcycles, small town. The cop used to let us ride on the street. I had an Indian motocross bike, and there was Benelli's and Hodaka Superettes and Husqvarna's and all these bikes, and we all had, and we would ride those chat piles. Well, they're all gone. The EPA's come in, and they've leveled all, taken all the chat out and gone down and trying to get it all out of the ground. But we drove out this one area where there used to be all these chat piles, and she said, "Your Grandpa Frank's, when he was even sick and dying from miner's lung, they'd bring him out here, and he could listen to the machinery, and he could tell them what was wrong with it and what they needed to do and how they needed to change things." He was a miner. He was a fighter. He was a bootlegger. He was mean. He died, hemorrhaged to death. My dad said he watched him hemorrhage to death in the sanitarium when he was a sophomore in high school. And so Dad lives the life with this kind of father, and now without a father, and an I don't care attitude. And I think of how did he fight through it? How did he get beyond it? Well, there was a revival service, and God got a hold of him and saved him, and he was able to explode beyond his past. I love that. That's our heritage. Mom talks about her dad. He died when I was young. I have just a few memories of Grandpa Joe. I look just like my Grandpa Joe. But he moved from Germany when he was a teenager, worked in prisoner of war camps at Camp Crowder, and house caught on fire, all of his papers burned up. The government heart didn't know he existed. All he did was hobo. That's the expression my mom. Jump trains and go all over the country. You know, our dad used to always say this: we don't go deep into our family history because we are afraid of what we're going to find. So I'm telling you, I'm a miracle today. My dad, because of the miracle that happened in my dad. But there's some pretty nasty stuff in my DNA, if not for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. What's that got to do with anything? Well, we all have, and especially some, have some past that may not conjure up good thoughts. And even when we say Father, our Father, it's hard because your father made hell out of your home. You know, I think of Liz. Liz's dad died when she was 9 years old. She has awesome memories of her dad and her mom and her five brothers. Then she had a stepdad, and that stepdad would beat him. That stepdad would take her mom and pull her by the hair and jerk her around and slap her and curse him. You know, I understand, I get it a little bit of how you may, some of you may have grown up. So this morning, it's to help us to say, there may be things in our past that we can take from. There may be things in our past that have caused us pain. But God is the kind of father an earthly father ought to be, and he's so much more. Someone say amen. And he says, this is how you should pray. You should pray, our Father. Here's what I've noticed. I've noticed there's some misconceptions about God. And I want you to see the parallel in everything I'm talking about this morning, because I'm talking about God. But these misconceptions as well as these qualities, I want you to see they're qualities of God. There's misconceptions about God. It parallels that of being a parent. Here's a misconception: that God is unreasonable, that all he wants to do is make my life tough and give me rules and regulations and take my fun and take all my happiness. And that's the farthest thing from the world, in all the world. God puts restrictions there. God puts some parameters there to protect us. Amen? I thought my dad was pretty unreasonable. But I look back, you know what he was doing? He was just trying to protect me. He was trying to keep me from making the mistakes that he made. Some people feel God's unreliable. God, why did you allow this? You know, God's allowed us to be free moral agents. He gives everyone a choice. And many of us are affected because of the choices that others make. And so things happen because we're in a broken world. But God doesn't waste our pain, and God doesn't waste the process, but God works through it. And many times, and what I've seen is God delaying, and what I've seen in thinking God's unreliable, as I found out later, his timing is perfect. And his timing is different than mine. One of the biggest questions that people ask is, why, God? Why, God? Why, God? And it's okay to ask why for a moment, but I want to remind you, our why needs to turn to, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to walk through this? Amen? And that's a whole nother message on faith in itself. Other people look at God, they don't only think he's unreasonable or unreliable, but they think he's unconcerned. Could God really be concerned about my life, about my kids, about my family, about my schooling, my education? See, if you don't understand that God is concerned, you'll never want to get to know him. And if you only knew how much God is concerned, he's concerned with the smallest detail of our lives. We'll talk more about it. And then we think God's unpleasable. God is unpleasable, that no matter what you do, it's never going to be good enough. And let me say this, I felt that. I lived a lot of my life thinking I could never be good enough. But that's that whole works mentality. And a lot of times we feel that because we live in a home where we have that feeling. I can never please my dad. I was one of those kids. I wish I was one of those people that just could look at you and say, you don't like me? That's your problem. Tough. But I care what people think. And I tried my whole life to please my earthly father. And I think it's that insecurity bled over into my relationship with God, that I wasn't able to please him. That whole idea that if you get all B's and your dad says, well, why didn't you get A's? You just never can be good enough. And a lot of people carry that onto God. Thank God I got through that. Thank God for the conversations that my dad had with me, and the whole idea is, son, I never meant for you to be the best. I just wanted you to do your best. And see, as a kid, I couldn't always grab a hold of that. God wants us to excel. God is for us. Amen? Sure. Let me just say this, and I've used this expression in messages in the past, but some of you as adults are still trying to please your parents, and I just want you to know you're never going to please them. They're unpleasable. The problem is not you. The problem is your parents. Let it go. Well, here's some things of what the Bible says about God the Father that we can pick up and grow from. Number one, how many are you glad you came this Father's Day to church? Amen? Number one, our God is a compassionate, our God the Father is a compassionate Father. Compassionate. He's loving. He's gracious. He cares about you. I shared this with a man who's come into faith in recent years. I shared it with him on Friday afternoon. And we were talking about some of the things of God. And it comes back to that. Well, I'm just trying to do enough good deeds, do enough good work. And I use the expression, there's nothing you can do that will make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do that will make God love you less. God's love is perfect. Is there disappointment? Are there consequences for our actions? Absolutely. But does it affect God's love for us? No. No. We need to understand that God loves us. If we disobey, there's consequences. My dad loved me. If I disobeyed, there were consequences. But it wasn't a matter of whether he loved me or not. Now, in my immature mind, I can remember saying, man, my dad doesn't love me. My dad doesn't love me. No, he loves me. And sometimes that's tough love. It's not an issue of love. It's an issue of obedience and disobedience. But our God is a compassionate, loving God. Scripture says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It's who he is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. God loved you so much, he gave the best. Psalm 103 in verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him. God's concerned. God cares. The disciples are out on a boat one day, and they're on one end thinking they're going to die. Lord's on the other end, fast asleep. Lord, don't you care? Did he care? Sure he cared. Sure he cared. Just because there's storms, just because there's struggle, just because there's difficulty, it's not an issue of God's love. He cares. He tells us to cast all our care. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. In this covenant series that we've been preaching, we preached two different messages on the same passage from two different angles. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, not to be anxious about what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear. Why? Because God cares. Because God knows. Some people say, you know, I worry and I have stress and I feel like the issue is I just don't love God enough. And that's not the issue. The issue is we don't know how much God loves us. And when you know how much God loves you, then there's not near as much stress or near as much worry. Amen? Amen. Parallel these. He's compassionate. What's God asking us to be? Compassionate. Loving. I don't think I even begin to understand love until I had children. And that I wanted better for them than I did for me. And that I was willing to sacrifice. I was pretty selfish. I was real selfish. Tell you something that'll help you with selfishness. Have kids. It helped me with my selfishness. That not the whole world's not about me. Now I was caring for my kids. Our Father is compassionate. Here's the second thing. Our Father is consistent. Our Father is consistent. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He doesn't change. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Our Father is consistent. It's probably what I struggled with more as a father than anything. And it's the example of our Heavenly Father and how we can be a better earthly father. Because I would get busy, or I would be traveling. I'd get consumed with projects, and then I would feel guilty. And so then I'd let things slide, or then I would pour on all kinds of gifts. And then other times I would be so strict. And I'm sure at times it was kind of like, which dad's coming home? And I tended to be inconsistent. Don't look at me so spiritual. Anybody else deal with that right here? Come on. Ladies too. And so what kids need is a secure, consistent. You know, this is what's awesome. And if we learn anything the last 2 months, it ought to be this. God is faithful. His promises are yes, 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 and amen. God's not fickle. God doesn't change. God's not up one day and down the next. But he is consistent. He's true to his word. And if there's one thing that we can learn from our Heavenly Father is this consistency. You know, in man-made religions of the world, people try to make up an idea of God. And here's what happens. Whether it's Greek gods or whether it's from Asia or Southeast Asia, the gods that people serve, they're always trying to appease the gods. Let's light a candle. Let's put some fruit out. Let's do something. Let's try to make God happy. We've got to appease the gods. Our God doesn't change. We don't have to go through some religious rigmarole to try to please him. Our God is faithful, and our God is consistent. One of the greatest causes of resentment and rebellion in kids is broken promises. And so God, help us to be consistent. Here's the third thing that I want you to see, what the Bible says, that God the Father is close to us, that he's close to us. I love this passage of scripture in Acts 17. It says that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet, I love this phrase, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. He's not far. For in him we live and move and have our being. Even as some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. What about this? Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him. He is not far from us. Maybe some of you grew up and dad was never around. He was off on business or hanging with the guys or just distant, aloof, on a computer, just not engaged. What can we learn from our Heavenly Father? He's there. What do kids need? Sure, we have to go to work. Sure, we have responsibility. Sure, there are seasons of busyness. But that constant hand. My dad was a busy man. My dad was president of the Association of Churches across the Midwest and over Mexico. He was a busy person. He would take me with him on those trips. I went to Mexico with him on these trips. But there were a lot of times that he was gone. He would schedule his trips around my ball games. I don't think he ever missed a game that I ever played in high school, football or basketball or baseball. I don't think he missed a game. He made himself close. I see where he got that quality. It's a God quality. It's a God quality. Remember this. God is never too busy. God is never too busy. I'm going to use it for me. God is never too busy for me. When I pray, he is never too busy, but he's a very present help. God's close. He's close to me. He's a close father. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. He's a close father. I love this. This is my favorite verse concerning fathers. If you then, Matthew 7:11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? He's empathetic. He's empathetic. He's never too busy. He loves to meet my needs, and he's empathetic to my hurts. Now, I didn't think my dad was empathetic, and there's times I've wondered if God is empathetic, and there's times that I've wondered how empathetic I have been. And we tend to think that moms are more empathetic, and that's where moms and dads compliment each other. It's not that dads don't care and dads don't hurt. It's just dads are trying to do that tough love thing and help their kids to rise up above it and be strong. And there's got to be a radical balance in that. You know, when I was playing ball, and it was like, stay down, stay down, stay down. Listen, our infield was rocky, and the ball would hit. And I'm telling you, I've had the ball, I've been down, and the ball, I got it, my hands down, I'm in position, and the ball come up and bloody my mouth. Oh, get up, boy, you're okay. I didn't see a lot of empathy in that. Jimmy Oxenine threw harder than anyone in Little League or Babe Ruth. And when I got hit by him, oh, I'd have chased the man if I hadn't have fell down. Get up, boy, you're okay. Rub it off. Well, I didn't see how much empathy. I understand what he's trying to do. God, sometimes may say, he's not empathetic. God's there. He's helping us to get up. He's helping us to say, you can make it. I know it hurts, but let's keep going. We're going to rise above it, and we're going to get through it. Amen? Man, I tell you, he's such an amazing father. That's my aspiration. That's my goal to adult children and to grandchildren. My time is gone. Let me tell you this. Our Father, he's a Father that's courageous. Let me put these together. He's courageous and he conquers. Nothing is impossible with our Father.